Welcome to Leading Lights. You are about to hear a message from Lighthouse Church.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. And it really is great to be with you again today. I just want to pick up on what James was saying about the goodness of God. It's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. When we go and tell people about His goodness and His love, they're drawn to Him. So often, we feel like we've got to tell people that they're bad and that they're sinners and they're lost, and that's true. But when we begin to point people towards our wonderful Savior, our Lord, our Savior and our friend, then they are drawn to Him. And I think that's just such a wonderful thing. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 14, when Barnabas went from church to church, he saw evidence of God's grace or God's goodness, and he encouraged people to remain faithful to the Lord with all their hearts. And every time I come to Lighthouse Church in Jersey, I see lots and lots of evidence of God's grace. I see it in your worship, and I think Lewis led us really well today. You really have a beautiful voice, Lewis, and it was just so wonderful to have a time of worship together. You see evidence of God's grace in the children's ministry, in the outreaches from this church, in the partnering with other local churches, with youth and young adults, and there's just so much that you see of God's goodness and grace. And I know that that Lighthouse Church is making a difference on the island, but not just on this island, beyond this island, into the nations of the world. Today I'm going to speak on boldness. Years ago, I spoke at a youth camp in the USA while I lived in Zimbabwe, and the young people misunderstood my Zimbabwe accent. At first they were confused because they thought I was talking about baldness or losing your hair. And I haven't lost my Zimbabwe accent, and thank goodness I haven't lost all my hair yet. It's thinning out a little bit. But today I'm not talking about losing your hair or going bald. I'm talking about being bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 verse 1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And in Proverbs 30 verse 30, it describes the lion as mighty among beasts who retreats before nothing. The lion is described as the king of the beasts. Have you ever seen a lion up close? It's an awe-inspiring animal. It is not intimidated by you in any way. And if you've ever heard a lion roar in the wild, you will know that it is the king of the beasts. And everything else just goes silent when a lion roars. A definition for boldness is being confident and courageous without feelings of shame. And today we're going to look at how we as Christians need to be bold in three ways or in three directions. First, let's talk about being bold towards God or being confident. Our confidence or boldness as believers is not because of our own achievements, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Reading from the English Standard Version, it says, this was according to the eternal purpose that He realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness with confidence through our faith in Him. We put our faith in God's goodness and grace and the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And we can approach God with boldness and with confidence. Our confidence before God is because Jesus shed His blood for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. It was paid for on our behalf. On the cross, Jesus did a number of things, but two things that always stand out for me is He showed His love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And someone said, how much do you love me, Jesus? And He says, I love you this much. He laid down His life for us. but also on the cross, he says, "It is finished," or "paid in full." And you know, the difference between Christianity and religion. True Christianity is receiving salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, because he said paid in full. Religion says do, do, do. Christianity says done, paid for. And we can come boldly because he shed his blood for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. "Therefore, brothers," and this includes not just the brothers, but also the sisters. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." And as Christians, children of God, we're invited to come boldly into his presence, the presence of our Father God. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When the pressure's on, don't withdraw from God. Don't isolate yourself, but run to him, and you will find a warm welcome. When our children were very young, we've got four children and now one grandchild, and when our children were very young, they would often with confidence come into my office to spend a little bit of time with Dad. Sometimes it's because they needed something. Other times they just wanted to say hello and get a hug. And in the same way, we with confidence can come into the presence of our wonderful God. And sometimes because we have a need, and other times because we just need to hang out. Just spend a little bit of time with Dad. Other people needed to make an appointment to see me, but my children, when they were small, had access any time to come with confidence, and they knew that they were always welcome. And you and I, as children of God, are welcome in his presence. Let's come to him with boldness, not arrogance, not self-importance, but come to him out of a confident assurance that Jesus paid it all, so that we can come and receive grace and mercy in time of need. When we pray, we should pray with boldness, because we have this confidence, we have this assurance. Listen to what 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says. "This is the confidence that we have towards him." The Amplified Bible puts it this way: "This is the privilege of boldness that we have." We have this confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. We can come before his presence with confidence and boldness. And we know that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. When we pray, our prayer should be based on Scripture. And we have this great assurance that God always answers prayer. There's always one of three answers. Sometimes he says, yes, and we rejoice. Wonderful. Other times he says, wait, and we trust for his perfect time. And other times he says, no. And when he says no, we know that he's got something better in store for us. And we need to trust our God. And we need to be able to come confidently before him. Confidently before the presence of our God to receive help in time of need. I want to say, whatever you're going through today, you have a welcome in God's presence. And let's come to him with confidence and with boldness. Having begun in the Spirit, let's not try and accomplish our goal through human effort. And you know, you didn't contribute towards your salvation other than the sin that required salvation. Okay? And your response to God and his grace is one out of acceptance, and that you've received mercy, and we want then to be transformed and changed so that we can become useful for him, and so that we can live lives that please him. And it's out of a sense of acceptance. Number two, let's talk about being bold towards the devil or courageous towards our enemy. Now, the Bible does say that we have an enemy who attacks people like a roaring lion. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And then it tells us what to do. Resist him, firm in your faith. We do have an enemy, and our enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. We have an enemy who wants to lie and deceive. But what we need to do is we need to resist him, firm in our faith. And I love the way that verse continues. It says, we have others around the world who are facing the same challenges. And I think that we need to come to God and say, Lord, help us to overcome the attacks of the enemy. I think the first thing is to recognize that we do have an enemy who wants to attack us. Now, not everything is the enemy. There's three things that we fight against or are our opposition. It talks about this in 1 John. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those three things that we have to contend with. The world is this world's system or the floating mass of this world's thoughts, attitudes, and opinions. And it's often projected through the media. And we need to understand that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, it's interesting. We have to understand the contrast between these two things. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. He loves the people of the world. And we need to be in the world, but not of the world. And the Bible also says friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God. So how do you balance all of this? Well, we have to understand in the one it's talking about the people of the world, in the other it's talking about the fact that there is the God, small g, of this world who wants to influence people through the media. And we need to renew our minds, change our thinking. And I know that you've just been through some excellent teaching on changing our thinking. Not being conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed so that you live like Jesus through our thinking. The second area is the flesh. And the flesh is our fallen nature. Some things we have to take off so that we can put on Christ. Okay? And there's some times that we have to recognize that the old man rises up on the inside. Now, I had an experience just recently. We were going on a ministry trip to York. We work with a church in the city of York. And on our way up to York from where we live, driving along the A1M motorway, someone came behind me. And you know, sometimes you drive on these motorways. Maybe it doesn't happen in Jersey, okay? But people get kind of road rage, you know? And this guy came behind me and he went this direction, then he went that direction, and then he passed me and sort of came past me. And he expressed his displeasure with a number of fingers. Now, I didn't hear what he said, but I knew exactly what he meant. And a sense of injustice and insult affected me. Now, you have to understand, we're praying and worshiping on our way to go and share about the goodness of God in York. And then the old man rises up. Have you ever had that happen to you? The old man rises up. And I thought, I need to go after him and express my displeasure with his displeasure. But I had to make a choice right there. I had to say, no, I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to put on the new man. And there's some things that we have to understand. It's not, you know, being lazy is not the devil's fault. We just need to stop being lazy. Are you guys with me? You know, there's some things that we just need to say, no, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to make a choice and I want to follow Jesus. But there are other times when the enemy attacks us. And what do we do? Well, James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 tells us Submit, resist, draw near. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Our enemy will flee if we resist him, and we can only resist him if we are submitted to God. Now, we do have an enemy, and I think that we should not have a flippant attitude towards the enemy of our souls. We need to recognize we have an enemy. We don't have to be afraid of him, but we do not resist him in our own strength. We resist him standing firm in our faith or by submitting to God. Years ago in Zimbabwe, I heard Reinhard Bonnke preaching. Have you ever heard Did you ever hear Reinhard Bonnke? Man, that guy could preach. And he told the story. I won't embellish the whole story like he did. But basically, this man had a house. And he invited Jesus into his house, the house representing his life. And he said to Jesus, I want you to come into my life, but I only want you to live in that room, the Sunday room. I'll worship you on Sunday. I'll be a Christian on Sunday, but the rest of the week, business is business, you know. It's my life. And the enemy came, knocked on the door. He opened the door. He saw it was the devil. He tried to close the door, but the devil got his foot in the door. He allowed the devil a foothold. And the next thing, the devil came in and fought with him and all sorts of stuff and gave him all sorts of uphill and trouble. And eventually he overcame. And then he went to Jesus and he said, Jesus, why didn't you help me? And he said, no, but you told me only to stay in this room of your life. So what he did is surrendered his whole life to Jesus. He took the keys. He said, you can have it all. And when he did that, the next day there was a knock on the door. And trembling, he went to the door. And Jesus stopped him and said, let me answer the door. Jesus opened the door and the devil stood on the other side of the door at the doorstep and started to tremble and say, sorry, I've come to the wrong house. You know, how do we overcome? We overcome by submitting and by drawing near. Let's give you two examples. We all have these challenges. For example, have you ever had a spirit of heaviness come on you? At times I felt like a spirit of heaviness comes on me. And you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's experienced this, but you feel like you wake up in the morning and you just feel flat. You just feel like, oh, I don't really feel like doing this again, you know? I don't feel like being a mother today or a father today or, you know, I don't really feel like trying to live for Jesus today. And when a spirit of heaviness comes on, the antidote, the way to deal with it, I have found, is to start to engage in worship. Now that's a practical way. So what do? I then submit to God and I put on worship music. And one of the, I tend to have a theme song going in my life at different times. At the moment, the theme song is Jesus over everything, over fear, over shame, over all anxiety, over sickness and pain, over everything. Jesus over everything. For a season, it was that song we sang today. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything else around me shaken. Other times, it's been the battle belongs to the Lord. And I put on worship music, and I begin to sing, and I begin to listen to that. And what tends to happen is a divine exchange takes place. It says in Isaiah 61 verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Another is overcoming fear. You know, we either respond to something out of fear, guilt, or shame, or through faith, hope, and love. How are you responding to things in your life? I don't have one with me today, but we got some, you know those silicon wristbands? We got a bunch for our church, and it just had hashtag faith, hope, and love written on it. Hashtag hope, hashtag faith, hashtag love. And the whole concept was that we need to consider everything in our lives and say, am I responding out of faith, hope, and love, or fear, guilt, and shame? And the right motivation should be faith, hope, and love. We tell people about God because of faith, hope, and love, not because of fear, guilt, or shame. We give not because of fear, guilt, or shame. We give because of faith, hope, and love. We serve through faith, hope, and love. And, you know, there's times when we need to stop and we need to say, no, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And the enemy comes in and he tries to intimidate us. He tries to lie. He wants to steal. He wants to cheat us out of God's goodness and love. Is this helpful to you today? I hope it is. But we need to be courageous towards the enemy. And I think we need to understand, don't just be one who is passive, but be active. And the way we become active is we submit to God, we resist the devil, and we draw near to God. We get ourselves under his care. And finally, we've seen so far be bold towards God, bold towards the enemy, and finally be bold towards others. Bold towards God is being confident. Bold towards the enemy is being courageous. And bold towards others is being without feelings of shame. We mustn't be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also to the Greek. The power of God is contained in the simplicity of the gospel. We need to share God's goodness and love with people. When we begin to share that God loves people and that he wants them to have a living relationship with God, to experience peace, joy, and purpose through that relationship, God is able to take the simple gospel message and impact somebody's life. And you might say, well, I'd really like to be equipped to know how to share the gospel. Well, I've got good news for you. On the information desk at the back, there's the Roman road written out for you. Become familiar with that. And just make a chain reference in your Bible, which basically is go to the first verse, and next to that, just all you've got to remember is where that first verse is, okay? And write down next to that where the next verse is. And you're able to then take people through a simple explanation of the gospel. And it's glorious when you begin to do that. The amazing thing is the gospel has the power to change people's lives. I really enjoyed recently watching some of the videos that were put together of testimonies of how Jesus has changed people's lives here at Lighthouse Church. And I don't think you realize, but those testimonies get shown in other churches like ours, get shared with other people in different parts of the world. Our testimony is saying what Jesus has done for me, he can do for you. And we share our testimony, and then it leads to us sharing the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. In the book of Acts, we see that Christians boldly proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is an amazing book, and we read in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And you're a part of a church that's passionate about being a witness locally and being a witness globally at the same time. And I think it's a wonderful thing to see what you're involved in. How do we grow in boldness towards others? Well, there's three ways that we see in Acts chapter 4. And why don't you turn across to Acts chapter 4 and we'll look at these three ways together. The apostles were facing opposition and resistance for speaking out in the name of Jesus. And you know, that's a key. It really is. Have you ever been on an aeroplane flying somewhere and you can start a conversation with the person sitting next to you? And I found this on a couple of occasions where people will ask you, so what do you do? And I say, well, we work with people in the community and we help people and we encourage people and we're a charity and it's just wonderful what we do. They're very interested. Until you say, Jesus. And people often don't want to hear anything more. But we need to understand that if we do in the name of Jesus. And they were being told, don't do any more of these works in the name of Jesus. And there is an intimidation that comes upon us to be silent, to not speak up in the name of Jesus. The three things we can do. Number one is spend time with Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized they had been with Jesus. People need to see something about our lives that we've been with Jesus. When we spend time with Him, He begins to rub off on us and it begins to affect people around us. And repeatedly through this weekend, listening to people, I know that this is something that God has been saying to different people in this church family. That we will be faithful if we spend time with a faithful God. That will come out in our lives. When we spend time with a God who is a good God, we experience His goodness, His steadfast love, His faithfulness, His mercy. That begins to reflect on others around us. Love one another as I have loved you. When we spend time with Him, it starts to permeate things around us. It really does. And I want to encourage us to spend time with Him. Number two, pray for boldness. After they had been told not to speak in the name of Jesus, they prayed. Acts 4, verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. And then it continues in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, prayer is a powerful thing, it really is. And we need to be able to bring our prayer requests to God. I want to encourage you as a church family to continue to pray for the leaders of this church. Pray for Greg as he boldly proclaims the gospel through television and through the medium of video and podcasts that go around the world. I have a very different ministry to Greg's, and I really appreciate Greg's ability to be able to take a subject of Scripture or a book in the Bible and to be able to unpack it in an amazing way. And what we need to do is we need to pray according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We need to pray that words may be given to him, so that he would open his mouth and boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel and to speak it out boldly as he ought to speak. I think that's a key thing that we need to pray. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to use your phone, use technology to help you pray. You know, why don't you put a reminder on your phone for a certain time every week? And when that reminder pings off, pick up the phone and just pray a simple prayer. You know, prayer is an amazing thing. It works like man hours. The more people who pray, there's like scales the Bible describes in heaven and in Revelations, and it talks about that in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, that your giving and your prayers have come up as a memorial before God. If you're not already a part of the email that goes out from Lighthouse Church to pray for people in the church family and to pray for needs that have come up through the outreach, I would encourage you to join that. I'm not quite sure how you do it, but I'm a part of it. And I often get an email, church, please pray. And I just read that email, and then all I simply do is I say, Lord, I pray for this person by name today. I bring them before the throne. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to intervene in this situation. And I think those prayers make a significant difference. Number three, be full of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place that they had gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We need to be full of God's Holy Spirit. And being full of the Spirit is not just a one-off experience. It wasn't just, Pentecost wasn't just to kick off the church. But you see in the book of Acts, again and again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be being filled, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that that's what happens when we come together and worship, when we spend time in fellowship together. We need both the Word and the Spirit to be able to educate us and equip us and empower us so that we can be effective witnesses for Him. So today, we've seen that we need to be as bold as a lion. Let's roar out His love, His encouragement, His blessing over a world that's so desperate for good news. We need to be bold towards God, bold towards the devil, and bold towards others. I want to encourage you this week to intentionally come before God and pray according to His will with boldness. Come and speak out His word over situations. Pray for the island. Pray for the churches in the island. Pray for people in your family. And let's ask God to do wonderful things. He's asking us to ask big things of Him. For others, perhaps you're struggling in an area. Identify, is this just, I'm imbibing the world's thinking? Am I letting the wrong influences speak into my life? Or do I need to make a change? Or do I just need to make some choices to put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ? Or is it the enemy? And I'm not trying to fight the enemy in my own strength. I just bring the situation before God and say, Lord, I'm asking you for a heavenly solution for this earthly problem. And finally, let's be bold towards others. I'm not talking about Bible bashing. Not everyone's wired up to be able to go and preach on the streets. And if that's what God's called you to do, go for it. But wherever we are, if we spend time with Jesus, that will start to affect people around us. Let's pray. And as we do, let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us as individuals and show us what He wants us to do, what adjustments He wants us to make. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are good. And we come to you today with confidence, bringing our needs. We ask you for help, for mercy, and for grace. We submit to you today. And we resist the enemy. We resist the spirit of heaviness, spirit of fear that comes on people that wants to hold us back by declaring your praise. We thank you that you want to fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us and give us boldness to tell others about your goodness and love. We want the world around us to see that we have been with Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit leadinglightsnetwork.com and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please consider supporting this ministry by making a donation on the giving page at leadinglightsnetwork.com or lighthousejersey.com.